I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pump Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 246, World Champs preview show. Rock Hill 2024. It's World's Week, baby.
World's Week. It is, it's also Mother's Day when we're recording. So quick and early, happy Mother's Day to all you BMX moms out there. Listen to this show unwillingly because your husband or son is forcing you to, you know, happy Mother's Day.
Sunday evening pod.
Sunday evening. We're a weekend podcast guys now. We're changing things up lately. It's just been working out nicely. It's kind of, I like it.
It's kind of nice too. Amateurs started today in Rock Hill, started racing, had some the cruiser classes going today. It's crazy how big the world championships is now. It's like a 10-day deal from the first practice to when pros finish. It's fucking wild.
It's insane. 10 days. I didn't know they even started today. I'll be honest. I legit thought they were still practicing because I was like, they've been there for a few days, it feels like, the amateurs. Yeah. But like the fact they're already racing, it's kind of shocking.
Yeah, so they practiced Friday, Saturday, and then cruisers are going today.
Ah, okay. Jeez.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. So, like 20 years ago or 20 plus years ago when I first started going as an amateur, it was like a couple of days. Like Friday was all cruisers, every class. Saturday was all challenge. Sunday was elite. That was the schedule. And now it's a fucking week-long racing schedule.
Now, they split up the cruisers. They split up the amateurs into what, like three groups now, it feels like?
Yeah, they have different age groups and stuff every day, yeah.
Crazy. Do they have days of just qualifying? Yeah. Or the days they race, you're racing all the way through, right?
Everything, yeah.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's at least a good thing because, yeah. But it's crazy. If you're one of the later amateurs, you're not practicing during those days the younger amateurs are racing, are you?
Oh, say it again. You cut out for a sec.
Like the days, like if I guess I imagine it goes in order, you know, like youngest to oldest kind of thing. If you're one of the older riders, like if you stop practice today or yesterday and you don't race for 2 or 3 days, you're just not on the track for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. You're not on the track.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild. Hey?
So I have a couple of riders that I coach in that specific situation. So they're going to go ride Hornet's Nest, which is one of the local tracks in Charlotte.
I guess it's kind of the best option. Hey, eh? Go find somewhere else to ride.
Yeah. Especially if you're off the track for like 3 days, you might as well just go have a fun light session, stay in tune with your bike and feels and everything.
Yeah. Just go play around, do something.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy. Like this, you know, there's a lot of talk always as a sport growing, whatever. And in some ways I feel like it isn't, but in terms of like, I think numbers and the size of races, it's grown fucking huge. Like look at the size of the grands the last few years. And the world's like, I swear the world just keeps feeling like it's bigger and better every single year too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, we can complain. We can say all we want about like it not being as big as we want and like, I don't know, in the pro ranks or publicly in the public eye on TV, whatever. Dude, amateurs has been getting massive. COVID's
huge.
COVID did a great thing for the sport. All the shitty things that happened with COVID, BMX is one of those things where it's like, it felt like it grew again after, which is weird because I think some parts of the world it didn't. Like there are some parts in Canada, I think it fucking tanked, which sucks.
I think Canada got hammered.
Brutal. But like somehow the US, like the way they got their series going right away, like they brought it back and it's booming. Like it's huge. Like the amount of riders there, I saw one of the photos of, I think it was the Team USA, and obviously the home country photo, always the home country is going to have so many people. It's going to look massive. But dude, it was like stacked amount of people.
Huge. Like the U.S. like opening ceremony / like get together or whatever, I don't even know, where KJ was waving the flag around was fucking sick. There were so many riders.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. That what I think is really cool, dude, Rock Hill loves it. I think Rock Hill loves the worlds. They had like a full-on opening ceremonies party, like a parade or something going on. I only saw clips of it, but like they make it like a legit thing. It's so cool.
I think the coolest thing about the worlds is like, especially in the challenge classes, you see all the different countries, obviously, and there's so much like nationalistic pride. Like you see the US getting together like that and like a rah-rah getting fired up. Then you see the Canadian team photo, you see all these different countries. And then you see like everyone just hanging out with their friends on Instagram, like on their stories, whatever, nonstop posts. You see people trading jerseys, meeting friends from other countries. And that's just the coolest thing about not only just the BMX worlds, but just sport in general. Like sport has the ability to bring the whole world together. You know, like so many people, and like we're all guilty of it. We bitch about politics or whatever's going on, like this and that, whatever. But then like when it comes to sport, everyone, no one cares. Everyone just comes together and like everyone's united. I think that's the most beautiful thing about sport is like, it doesn't matter where you're from, what your background is, no matter what, like you're all BMXers, you're all there for the same goal. And it's really special, that thing.
Fucking preach, for real though. It's so true though. It seriously is, like, it's cool. Cause like you, there's so many like Canadians there, and you go to like some of our bigger countries, like Canada, the US, like you're going to be from like different parts of the country where you don't really know the person. But as soon as you go to the event, you feel like you're on the same team.
Yeah.
It's like you're
totally. You feel like, yeah, you do. You feel like a sense of pride together, all wearing the same country jersey. Or even like if you're out for dinner and you see other BMXers from other countries, like BMXers are some of the most friendly people I've ever met in my life. And they'll talk to anyone. And like we both have friends all over the world. Like we could go to Holland, we could go to Colombia, whatever, and just stay with friends for a week, no problem.
Yeah. That's the coolest thing, eh?
Without sport, we wouldn't have that.
Yeah. So true. Sport is nice.
I was thinking about it too recently with the Vancouver Canucks are making obviously a run in the playoffs for those. We're gonna talk about that fucking wagon of a team in a second here. but it's like I don't get to watch too many games down here in San Diego because they don't really show NHL games, especially Canucks games.
Yeah.
But they've been showing all the playoff games, and I've been getting so hyped watching the Canucks. And I can tell even from afar, like it's bringing our entire city together.
Dude, it's insane. Yeah, the vibes around like town, like obviously Canucks have been a fucking tank in the last, I don't know, you want to say 10 years probably? It's been 10
years.
They've
been terrible.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah. And it's been like, they keep showing promise, like end of the season. So people are like, what the fuck? Well, let's get a good pick at least and have a better season. They don't do that. So everyone gets down. This season has been like so different. It's like everyone's wearing their jerseys again. I feel like, obviously it's normal. Like everyone has their jerseys, and on game days you wear your jersey, you support the team. But it's like, I haven't seen that in the past, like, I don't know, years. Like regular season, people don't do it as much, but you can tell right now when there's a game. Like I was at the grocery store 2 days ago when the other game was on, and like it was packed. People were in their jerseys. You could tell like there was a rush of people trying to get food and snacks to go watch the game. And it was like good energy too. Like it was,
Yeah. It's amazing. Those guys on that team, they're bringing an entire, like even they're not trying to, they're just trying to win hockey games. They're bringing an entire city together.
Yeah. It's wild. Vancouver's a weird city too. Like it's, people say like Canada's a very nice place to be. People are really nice, but Vancouver itself is kind of like, downtown is a weird thing. People are not always as nice downtown, and like they're not saying hi to everybody on the street, which is weird. But for some reason, it seems different. Like obviously, once now we have the team back, and they're fucking making a run right now. It's like everyone's kind of back, good energy, being happy, and talking to people. It feels like
people are uniting over something.
Fucking right, they are. It's crazy.
Yeah. What a wagon our team is right now. Are you kidding me? 1-1 in the Western Conference semifinals, game 3 tonight. I can't fucking wait to watch it.
Come on. They're playing to me what I think of Edmonton as a wagon too. Like we got a tough match right here. I'm kind of pissed.
Edmonton's a good team.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks. It's two Canadian teams going up against each other, like the last two Canadian teams right now. So I hate that. But I mean, I feel like Vancouver right now is the definition of like, you can put great players, the best players on a team, and they won't be the best team. They'll be great players. You bring the Canucks are like that team that they play well together, that they've come together as the best team.
You know, I know what you mean. Like, especially on paper, there's other teams that have superstars and stuff, and Canucks have some great players, but they have like something special together as a team.
It seems that way, right?
Yeah. Dude, there's nothing. I think out of all the sports, NHL playoffs are the most exciting.
It's the best.
For sure. Yeah,
it's the one. I think it's the one sport that like the intensity gets raised significantly.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's like scrums after every whistle. Every goal is like the end of the world with like players and then the fans. And the thing about hockey too is like, for instance, you're watching football. It's such a possession game. So like one team has the ball, and if they get to like the 10-yard line, 5-yard line, like you kind of know they're about to score. Hockey, it seemingly comes out of nowhere. Like one team can go down, shoot, almost look like they're going to score, and then 2 seconds later you blink and the other team scores.
Yeah.
So like every goal comes as a massive surprise, which is part of the fun.
Yeah, that is the best part. Like you really don't know when it's going to happen. Normally it's when you blink and look away, all of a sudden like it takes a ricochet and it's like, cool, guys, take out a breakaway. And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
And there's nothing more exciting than sudden death overtime.
The best, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, the Canucks lost in overtime last game, but still great to watch.
So great. They look like they were tired to me. I don't know. Like, I didn't stay up. I actually, to be honest, I didn't stay up for the overtime. I watched it after. I already knew they lost.
Mm.
But I watched it after. I watched some highlights, like the long preview highlights. And it was like, they didn't have it.
Dude, they were lucky to get to overtime. Yeah. Let me just say that. They were fucking brutally outplayed in the third period. They got outshot like 16-2 in the third period or something.
Oh, it's so brutal.
They were barely hanging on, yeah. But anyway, game three tonight. Can't wait.
We also got like third string goalie in right now, which is just insane. He's keeping the team alive right now.
He played like a fucking five NHL games before the playoffs. He was playing for the Abbotsford Heat.
That's insane. It's wild, dude. That's wild.
And they had, I think that his backup, I could be wrong. Didn't they have to call someone up from like a university hockey team just to be the backup one game?
Yeah, I think so. Because the Smith, our backup, who got injured. So it's like, you need a backup for the third string.
They're not far off calling you from North Van to come sit on the bench for.
Hey, man, can you just put those pads on? You just got to look like you're ready to play. Yeah, sure.
It's nothing like performance on demand. Never really played in the NHL before, and you're just thrown into the pressure cooker.
It's crazy. It can make a career, though, in the sense of, like, if you play 100%. Really well, like, teams are going to be going, like, hey, like, we can get this guy for cheap. Like, let's get him on the team. And, yeah.
It's kind of funny. These Seelaw's playing great. He's making, like, 750 grand, which is the NHL minimum. And other, I mean, like, Quinn Hughes is making, what, 10 million a year? Whoever knows?
That's nuts, eh?
I know.
Yeah. It's crazy to hear those, those stats of like how much people make too in these sports.
I know, yeah. Like $750,000 is obviously a ton of money, but in the NHL, it's not.
There was an interesting, I don't know if you saw it or somebody told me about it, that Caitlin Clark had an interview about her contract and how it's like, somebody was trying to complain about like, yeah, you're not making it as much as the guys, blah, 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 and whatever. And she's like, yeah, like I understand I'm not. It's like we have less eyeballs on the sport and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it was very, like, yeah. She was very realistic about it. And what I think is cool is like she's bringing eyeballs, so she's gonna bring more money to herself and the sport because like people are actually watching the like WNBA now because of her. Straight up, it's very clear.
Yeah, like and like those people like Caitlin Clark who are absolute superstars in their sport and like bigger than their sport can bring people who wouldn't normally watch just to see her.
Yeah,
and then those people that come maybe they you know. Like her team, maybe they like someone else's team. Then they get into the sport. That's how like Tiger Woods changed golf or MJ changed basketball or whoever.
100%. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Pro Gate Europe winning starts at the Great Gate. We got to give a shout out to Corby Shirah, last world champion from Rock Hill 2017. He had a great start in Pro Gate Europe in that mate.
He is a great start in Pro Gate Europe. There's no two ways around it. He has his own style. I feel like guy's got it done. He is the last world champion on the Rock Hill track so far, so he might not be the favorite going in, but you got to give him a little extra spice now that, yeah, he knows he's won here. He's won a big race here.
And World Cups.
Yeah.
Cups. One of the two. Yeah.
He's won multiple, for sure.
I know he's won one. I don't know if he's won multiple. I can't remember.
Shit. Well, he's won multiple big races there.
Yes, he has. The track, I don't know if you've seen, but they've kind of fixed the first turn-ish.
Okay, so I've been trying to find photos and videos, and I haven't seen. So what are we saying ish?
They've basically sanded down, looks like, the first half.
Okay.
Like, it's noticeably a different color, and it's, like, the first half to turn. So clearly they've made an effort to probably take off some of the sealant they put on so it's not slick if it rains or just in general, which I think is a net positive. Okay. Although I'm not sure why I wouldn't just do it the whole turn.
Yeah, that's interesting that it wouldn't. I want to try to find some photos to see myself too.
But yeah, like it's noticeably a different, like a lighter color.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm glad they tried because at the end of the day, if you're not going to make it, if it's not going to be a new turn, do your best to at least try to fix it. If they did that, that's fucking great because they needed it, right?
The thing is, though, especially in the elite classes, like the guys are going in so fast, you're kind of cornering probably like 2/3 of the way through the corner where you're really leaning, you know? And especially the women too, like then when they have to cut back, they'll be cutting back after it's sanded. So
you kind of feel like it might be a little early.
Yeah.
Like they're not hitting the right spot. Thinking. Yeah.
Kind of what I'm thinking.
Kind of sucks. I'm going to be a little, I'll be honest. I'm going to be pissed if we start seeing people sliding out there, but I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt that, hey, they tried. Let's see what happens.
Man, I'm just picturing a guy with a toothbrush out there, just like scrubbing the first half of the corner. I don't know why. Like, I don't know. Understand why you wouldn't just do the whole turn though. Like, just do it all.
I'm trying to see,
but
you can see that. Yeah, I can see a patch. To be honest, like they had like there was a part of the turn that was like, it was a patch that was really bad. So maybe they just did that patch and they tried to leave the rest. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but I also saw somebody sent us a DM on the questions thing about like, yeah, like people are already sliding out. So we'll see what happens.
I heard Nashville is also put on the same ceiling to their corners.
I heard that too. I think it's brutal.
It's really tough.
It sucks because like, I understand in the tracks, like trying to preserve their new, they put all this money into fresh asphalt turns, or they're trying to fix old asphalt and they're like, hey, we can do this for cheap. Like, let's do it. It doesn't work though. It's not it.
There's no point to pave the corner if you're going to be sliding out in an ice rink.
No, it just doesn't. Yeah, it's not it.
No, it's not it.
I wonder how it'll be, because obviously the Rock Hill, the amateurs, the inside's kind of, you come at a really tight angle. Like you're making more than 180 degree, I feel like, turn.
Especially if you're in one. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be worse for them, but also, I mean, that'll create some excitement always. So.
Yeah, they're not going as fast or as strong, so they don't lean as hard. So I don't think it'll be a huge issue for them.
Right. I'm glad they tried. The place looks great. I mean, Rock Hill usually looks good for the races, but for the Worlds especially, I mean, it looks fantastic.
Already huge crowds for the amateur racing too, which is fucking awesome. Hopefully the weather holds up. I saw KJ had posted some stories and I was DMing with him a bit that, yeah, some of the tastes were looking a little dicey. So I hope the weather holds up. Yeah.
We got a week for the pros. I mean, let's hope it's good for that. Amateurs, well, good luck.
You got to just send it. You just got to go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. How many riders do you have there? Do you know? Like, you must have a few. Good handful.
Yeah, I got a pretty big handful of riders there. So I've been busy, especially the last couple of days with practice and then first day of racing. I've just been texting back and forth, calling, watching the feed. Yeah. It's going to be a busy week, but I'm excited.
Yeah, that's good. Where's the feed? I actually haven't looked. I've been so busy. I haven't even seen. Like, I haven't looked yet.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTube? The YouTube.com? Yeah.
The YouTube.com.
Is that similar to answerbmx.com, get yours today kind of style? Like you put it in
very the tad? Similar.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, actually, you know what? The feed was great. Like super clear, great coverage. It was awesome.
Nice. That's good to hear.
Yeah, really good. So I think the track will be good for racing, like always. Rock Hill, you can pass everywhere. It's pretty fair, wide open. I like it.
I mean, yeah. I think it's great. I think the pros, the track's fantastic. I think for the guys, it's better than the women. Just because having to cut back in that first turn is always going to be a problem. But the size of the jumps, I mean, I guess for both now, actually, it's pretty good. Because even the third straight for the women, three, four jumps down the third straight for them. Good size.
So. But the second straight for the women is really weak.
That's the bad part.
It's terrible. It's just a normal USA BMX straight. It doesn't challenge them at all, which sucks.
Yeah. So I do think it's better for the guys, yeah.
Yeah,
but I love how like wide open after the first turn you keep your speed up. Like there's always passes going on, people are making moves, you can make up ground. That's a good one. I like a track where if you get a bad start you can make up ground, even if there's like a lot of people in your way and there's not a good like ball up for you to pass people. Like you can snipe your way around there, which is good.
Yeah, and the last straight is good for drag races too. Like not overly tech, but tech enough where you can make a mistake if you're really pushing it.
Yeah, because obviously it used to be, I mean, super simple.
It was like a little speed bumps before.
Yeah. And I don't think now it's hard, but that one little step up at the end with the roller down, like you can fuck it up. Like there's at least something that's going to be in your way to cause a problem.
Yeah, totally. All right. Let's get into elite men here. We're going to start off the bat with Romain and Joris. So I'm going off the impression that Joris is fully healthy and ready. Would you say?
I think so too. Haven't seen much from him, but that's normally a good sign with him. Like I feel like he does that kind of often when he's getting ready for big races. And I imagine like, yeah, what was Sleeman like a couple months ago now at this point? So
yeah.
Do I think he's 100? No, but he's got to be pretty high up there.
I think the biggest thing, I'm sure he'll be just as fast and everything. He just hasn't raced in a while.
Yeah. Which is funny. Like George is one of the guys I think doesn't, if he's a guy running up front, like he normally is, like it's not a big deal for him. I think he can put his laps in, tick him off like normal, and it's like you won't have to. Some guys, like if you're mid pack, it's nice to get a couple races in to get back in the fields, get back in the zone, get back in between people. I don't even know if he needs to do that.
I think it does minorly make a difference just with going through your routine and kind of getting in the race day mindset, you know, like going through, I don't know, warm up, first round, all that.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting. Like I agree with you that I think he'll probably slide into it right away, but yeah, we'll see, especially in the later rounds, I think.
Yeah. I wonder if in his books, what he's viewing this race as. Obviously, there's another one big race coming up after this that I'm sure like the main focus. So is he knowing that he coming off that injury, is like, okay, use this as best we can to get ready for the next one.
Yeah, I wonder. And it's also crazy. Interesting because he's like older too, and I'm sure he wants to win the Worlds again. He's not going to get many more cracks at it.
Yeah. One of my fun facts I wanted to bring to the table was, so Kyle Bennett, he won 3 world titles in Elite, right? Kyle did?
I believe so.
Yes. I think he's the only one to have 3 Elite Men world titles.
Interesting. Wow.
Because if I'm looking at this stat sheet right now, it's combining juniors and elites, and Sam has 4, so he has 2 elites, 2 juniors.
I think you can't count juniors.
I know. So so I'm just making sure I'm doing the math right. So this is counting it, but we're not going to. Then it's Kyle below with 3, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think Kyle had a junior men one.
No, he won 02, 03, 07, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so then Anik is in 3rd with 3, and he has 1 junior, so that's 2 elites.
Mm-hmm. So he would have won. Which years did he win? He won. What years did he win?
15 and 21. I just drew
a complete blank.
Yeah, 15 and 21.
Thank you. Yeah.
Got you. So that means, so Neek, Joris, no, not Sylvan. He's got 2. So yeah, Neek and Joris both have a chance to hop up into like the Kyle Bennett range of having 3 world titles.
Wow.
So
I hadn't thought of that. So Joris has like what, 2010 and,
16,
yeah, Medellin.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So that'd be pretty cool. Like some people might realize that, but I didn't. But I think that's history book stuff. Like if you're getting 3 world titles and there's only one person that has that right now, it's insane.
Actually, I think it's the 2010. George did 2011. 2011, yes. 16. Yeah, sorry. Man, imagine it's 2011, 2016, 2024. What a spread!
Oh, holy shit, hey.
Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah, that'd be wild.
Holy crap. That is some longevity.
Yeah. How many people have gone back-to-back in world titles? Because obviously then Kyle, 2003. Can't be many. Maris, is he the only one? No.
Is he the only one? Well, I don't, to be honest, I don't know a whole lot before like...
2000s on.
2000, yeah. That's, so someone in the... Someone in the 90s, I don't know. Like, did Dale go back to... No, he didn't go back to back. He won 2 world champs, didn't he?
It's tough because, like I said, this... I don't know what years this shows. This is from 1996 onwards.
I'm pretty sure Dale won... Okay, I think Dale won 2, but they weren't back to back, I want to say.
So let's put a disclaimer, although we're post now, but this is a disclaimer. This is 1996 onwards that I'm looking at. So everybody before, I apologize if there's others, but I don't have it.
He might be the only one who's gone back to back.
Crazy.
There's going to be an older guy right now that's just fucking screaming at his speaker.
You fucking idiot.
There's going to be some guy in like 92, 93 who went back.
They're going to be like, you guys don't know a damn thing. It's like, brother, I was in this sport till 2000, okay? It's 2024 now. Come on.
Fucking idiots, educate yourself.
They didn't have computers then. I don't know this shit.
I think out of recent history, like Romain has an exceptional chance at going back to back.
That's I think too. Yeah.
100%. Like he's not only, I mean, he's obviously been at the top of his game for a while now. He's been training at Rock Hill, been very quiet. I think he's going to come in just flying.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I mean, I think the track is great for him too. Like the Rock Hill, where someone still needs to get their white picket fence up and protest the shit out of that hill. It's a half a crank too short, but it's good for those people that go right, right, or left, left. So, I mean, Romain's one of those guys. I think the track is wide open. I think on a track where you can carry momentum and just fucking rip, I think it's just really good for Rome. So if he gets out and gets going, good luck catching him.
So we're going to start with the French team. Slyvain. Slyvain hasn't raced in a while. He's back. Last shot to make the Olympic team here. This is a big weekend. It's a big weekend for a guy.
This is huge, dude.
It's about as big as it gets.
This is bigger than the Olympics right now. You need to get there. Like, this is, yeah. I'm really curious to see what state he's in, dude. We have no idea. I have no idea how he's going to look, how he's going to be riding, what kind of training he's got going into this. Like, he's been pretty low-key about it all. So I got nothing.
I think he's going to be very racy.
You think so?
Uh-huh.
You think
he's going to be frisky out there.
Just back to old form, just doing his thing, eh?
I don't know if he's going to have the gas down the first straight to battle with the kind of top group, but he's going to be right there in the mix every lap.
Yeah. Cool. I hope he is, because we all know, like, when Sylvan's racing and when he's racing like he usually does, I think it's all just more exciting.
You know what's different about Sylvain too than some other like riders? Even if he doesn't have his best stuff, he rides with some serious hunger and some determination that some guys don't race with. And he's willing to go through a brick wall to do it. He doesn't care how the lap looks. He's just going to fucking send it and make it happen. And that's why, that's like one of the main reasons I think that mentality is why he's been able to do really well at some races when he maybe wasn't the top two fastest guys or whatever. So especially like last time at Worlds when Rock Hilly got second, raced great. He's raced fucking awesome here in the past. I would not count this guy out for a podium.
Why do you think that is about him? Like what, why, where does he get it from? Because
I think some people are born with it and some aren't. That intensity, that willing to go through a brick wall mentality. Yeah. Of course it can be worked on, but oftentimes you have it or you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's got it. That's for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't put him past it either. Like of all the places, like I said, the track's raceable. Like if you're willing to stay close to a guy, run the line, run the, like the chalk line down, like the second straight or something, or even fucking the third straight, you can make some moves. You just got to be willing to put it in there sometimes. And I mean, Sylvain's one of those guys that will do that. So he'll get it. He'll get really sketchy in the sense he'll make the move though.
It's like you could be in six in the first turn here and still get in the top four.
100%, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what's great about like long straightaways like this. Like you keep your speed up, you make passes. People make passes where they slow up, and you can try to like pass up like two people. Like it's open for the taking.
There's a lot of passes like from the probably say the middle jump on the second straight like to the last turn. Yeah. There are tons of passes in that like not even half a track area.
Right. Yeah,
so. down the last straight too. There's a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna be historically. Sick. So, the French team's got. I'm excited to see what happens because, like you said, like, I feel like the one spot for the French team is all coming down to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few countries it's probably gonna happen, but French too. So,
yeah. All right, other two guys in the French team. We got Jeremy and Pills. Pills has been a bit. I don't know. Not as consistent as prior years.
He hasn't been as Pillsy.
No.
I think Jeremy's been a little bit, Jeremy's been the guy that's like, I think he's sitting in third spot right now for the team and somebody has to beat him out for it. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. He's got to not get it. Someone's got to come snag it.
Yeah. That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Gary, do you think Gary Allen has a shot to do that? Cause he's coming off injury, but he was riding great too.
I don't think so at this point. Yeah.
I think
is he even going to the world?
I would imagine. I saw him doing gates in Paris, and he's on the team to go.
Is he on the? He's on the list. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember if he was on the list or not. Okay,
I don't. I can't like see the name, but I'm like 95% sure.
Okay. I don't really. No, I don't see it. I don't see him making the Osho team this time around. Next time, yeah, but this time no.
Yeah, it feels like it's between the two. Sylvain needs to do something to get himself back on the team, but right now it's Jeremy's. Like Jeremy's riding great. He was riding great. He's in good form. It's like it's his to kind of.
Yeah, I guess we don't really know their criteria. I think it's mostly points, but what do you think Sylvain has to do to like make it? Does he have to win?
I mean, I think basically, no, maybe not win, but like they're, from what I know, it's like it's World Cup podiums. That's what matters on their team. World Cup podiums, mm-hmm. not World Cup finals, which is fucking insane. Like you're in a World Cup final, it's great, but everyone's getting podiums, so you need to get podiums.
I guess, I mean, Jeremy and Pills haven't done like great this year.
I mean, no, but I think if you're going to look at it, you're going to look at Jeremy. I think he's been the better, best one otherwise. Maybe I could be wrong, but I think he has.
So why wouldn't Pills have gone to Tulsa? Now I'm thinking about it more. It's like, if you go there and like, what if you podium twice?
It must not mean enough. Like it must not mean enough.
How would it not mean enough? If he goes there and wins both days or podiums both days, like how would that not?
Because they're not sending the other top dogs, I think. Like France is their own like fucking entity. They're like, fuck it. Like if our guys aren't there, the race doesn't mean as much. They're like, which is just not true. But for their,
I don't know if that's true though. Like they just ambiguously decided that Tulsa doesn't count when Australia and New Zealand do. That makes no sense.
No, I agree. I don't know. Like I'm trying to make something up here, like to figure it out. That's what I'll
do. Like why wouldn't you go if you're Pills or Jeremy just to try and get some better results to really solidify your spot? Yeah, kind of doesn't make sense, especially if like you know like Sylvain's coming back too for the world. So, like, why wouldn't, now that I think about it, like why wouldn't you go?
What if
I understand Joris and Romain not, but
what if their third spot is basically solely on like world's performance? That might be the only reason.
Then that would make more sense because you'd think that would be the only reason why they wouldn't have gone to Tulsa.
Yeah, like, yes, the team's not setting you, but like, if it counts in your eternal rankings, then you fucking pay for yourself. Like, everyone pays for it themselves. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So you basically need to, yeah, more or less, you'd need a big result and to beat Pills and Jeremy.
I can't wait to watch these guys go. Dude, I can't wait.
It's going to be good. So good. Yeah, it'll be good. Next guy we're going to talk about, let's talk about Alpha Dog, Alfredo Campo. So, very interesting pick here in Rock Hill. I think he doesn't, he lives in Orlando now, but he, I think he lived a long period of time in Rock Hill years prior. Has been very fast here in the past. Has won USA BMX Nationals here, podiumed at World Cups. There's been 2 years he was leading the semi in the past, 2018, 19, and slid out in the second turn. I mean, that was quite a long time ago, but clearly he's been able to perform at the Worlds. He's got a good shot here, I think. He was really quick, him and Cam, at the USA BMX National earlier this year. What do you think about Alf Dog?
I think the guy's a world specialist. I think he knows when to get fired up and get going for Worlds, which is insane. And yeah, I think Rock Hill is his place. Like, it's, everyone has a track that they just absolutely excel at. I think, yeah, Rock Hill is his. Like, you look at Nick Papendahl. I mean, the guy can fucking do it from 8 all the time. Rome could too. Fucking Alex in fucking Oldsmar. Guy could just fucking, that was a speedway for some reason. I don't know how it was, but it was. I think Alfredo's Rock Hill. He fucking puts it on. I think he knows the track inside and out from the years he spent here. The amount of times he probably rode here is insane. So, although we haven't really seen him this year, I somehow think he's going to be in the final.
I think he's got a legit shot at winning.
Really, hey?
Yeah. Like, I don't, I wouldn't necessarily put him as the favorite, like, ahead of Joris or Romain.
Yeah.
I actually don't think Joris is a, in, we'll get it. I don't think Joris is a favorite to win, in my opinion. I think Romain more is.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think Alf Dog has a legit shot.
Fuck, I mean, dude, the amount of times he's been good at the Worlds, he's good at this track. We know he knows how to, like, how to put it together. I hope he does. I don't know if I'm going to put him in the win column, but, like, dude, the guy could easily rip one off. We've seen him do that before.
Mm-hmm.
Those semifinals, dude, I don't care how many times we bring it up. Those semifinals at the Worlds, the 2 years in a row, he just fucking lit one up and was hole-shotting and was out front. Dude, he was so quick.
But it almost seems like a different career ago. Like, that was a while ago, 5 and 6 years ago. That's like, you know, you're a different person 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah, that's a while ago. Fuck, yeah.
Mm.
He's a different guy. He doesn't seem to race as much. I don't feel like. More picky and choosy. He's got his business on the side. He does other things. But, yeah, he still knows where to turn up, get it going. So,
he's always doing well in Rock Hill. Doesn't matter the race.
Yeah, 100%.
He's always battling down the first straight for a win. Every time.
I think he must just love that hill and the whole setup. Like, the way he's dialed it in, he must just really love it.
And like we talked about previous shows, when you feel at home and comfortable in your surroundings, you can light it up.
Seriously though, right?
So, yep.
I think it'd be in the final, dude. I think it'll be interesting. I think Ecuador already has an Olympic spot. I think they already got one off of Continental Championships last year. But whoever obviously gets the spot is still up for grabs. The country has it. It goes to whatever they pick. So although it would seem stupid not to pick him, maybe he still has to get a good result too. So that's something to think about.
He rode great at the last Olympics. He made the main.
Yeah, dude, he was flying. So quick there, yeah. So, He's a big-time race specialist. That's what it feels like.
He is. You know what? He honestly is. Like, the bigger the race, Alf Dog comes out.
Yeah, he prepares well for it. He fucking shines. It's awesome.
All right, let's get into the Americans. We're going to start with Cam and Cam.
Cams.
Yeah.
Do you favor one over the other this track? Because I feel like they've both shown speed here. They've both shown they can win here. So it's like, I don't know which one I would be like, oh, I think this guy's doing better right now.
I kind of like our guy Larson right now. He's been trending up this whole year. He's healthy. He just got a third in Tulsa with arguably the best save of the fucking decade. I got a feeling about Cam having a big weekend.
God, he's been trending so well. He's been racing great this year. He's really stepped up, feels like, and it's been really fun to watch, so I hope he does too, because another guy who's like, he's figured something out on the hill and he's had good results, not from that specifically, but he's had really good results here. I hope he can use that little edge and make something happen.
He's won multiple races here the last year, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we're just recently biased. He won national champs here. So
yeah. Didn't he win one last year? I think he won one here last year too.
think so. And he was battling a podium with Alfie, I think, that other Rock Hill race this year. So like So he's had a bunch, I think. A bunch of good ones.
Yeah. It's a good track for him. Yeah. Hometown crowd.
Yep. Very interesting.
I think as of right now, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Like I always thought like the past year or two, Cam Wood was the top guy. I think Larson's the top American right now.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it, I mean,
yeah. Wow.
What does Cam Wood have over Cam Larson at the win in Argentina, obviously, but like besides that,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you can't discount a win, obviously. And it's still pretty recent, like just being last fall. But if you kind of just look at this year and the last while, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have a tough time comparing them. Just like injuries are a thing that happen. You have to be smart to not get injured, but also Cam's kind of got fucked with that. Like, seemed like a basic slide out, ends up fucking his shoulder. He misses some races. So he's going through these waves of like injury come back. And I mean, I'm sure Larson has also had little ones that we probably don't even know about. Like the guy's taking some fucking slams. So it's not like he doesn't have those either. But he's definitely been, I guess you're right. He's definitely been trending better this year. Like he's been the guy. It's always been Cam. Like, is he going to be like, is he healthy and ready to go? I don't know. Like, let's find out. But Larson's been there the whole time.
Cam Wood's done a fucking good job too. Like he's had some big injuries, obviously was out a long time last year, 6 months, came back and got a first and third in Argentina. Then he got hurt again earlier this year and made the mains in Tulsa. Like he's done a really good job of battling through injuries and still maintaining his form with like really not much racing the past year and a half compared to everyone else.
Yeah, for real though, right? It's like, that's such a tough, underrated thing to do.
Yeah, I know. So he's done a really good job of keeping himself in shape.
It's going to be very interesting if one of these guys gets a podium. Like, and like the third one we can add in here now for like just chatter is Jay Smith. Like you want to throw Jay Smith or fucking Corbin, fucking throw both of them in right now. If one of those guys gets a podium here, it's going to shake things up like crazy for their Olympic spot.
I do not see Corbin getting a podium at this point in time. I know he won the world's last time, but like that would be out of the clouds.
It would, dude. Dude, he hasn't been showing that kind of speed for a while.
No, he hasn't shared the World Cups in a long time.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen either, but I had to just say, he's won a race here. He's Corbin, so you can't say anything.
It's an honorary mention as the previous world champ of Rock Hill, but again, that was like 7 years ago. That's a long time
ago now. Yeah. Yeah.
He was 25 and now he's 32. Like, you know, he's not the same rider now that he was then.
No, definitely not. He's a different person. He's data two now. Like, yeah. Who do you think outperforms the other one then out of the camps?
I think Larson does. Yeah. For sure. Answer S squared, get yours today.
Gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a fun one to watch, I think. I just like I said, I like the internal battles, I like the extra side bits, and that's it there. So
what do we think about Jay Smooth? Speaking of Americans.
I think you look at somebody who puts 100% of his effort into what he does. Like Jay Smooth is one of those guys. I feel like at the race, like he's going to give you everything he's got at that race. So that's obviously like, I think you're going to get everything from him, but I don't know. Although we got a podium this year as well at World Cup, I think it's going to be tough. Like the amount of guys, I don't see him beating out the other two.
No, I don't. But you know, I think he's riding a bit more swagger now after he got his first podium.
Maybe, yeah. Dude, he was flying off the start in Tulsa. Like, a couple of his starts, quarters, whatever. I was like, holy fuck, where did that come from?
You know, it's a huge relief, like we talked about before, when you get a first big result, like podium at a World Cup, whatever. And it can really, I don't know, not only does it elevate your expectations, but you really believe in yourself more and you feel like you're one of those guys. And I feel like that's what's happening to Jay Smooth.
Yeah.
Very positive thing for him.
Yeah, which is cool. And he's been that guy that's been it's been like a fucking diesel, just slowly getting there too, right? It's just like, nothing crazy, but he's just putting the work, slowly climbing race by race.
I think in Rock Hill, the last worlds in our eighth, I was in one and he was in two. Just remembered.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hell
just,
yeah.
Just remembered, yeah.
You think like, we're talking about hometown races, like the U.S. on the East Coast, very hot, humid climate. If you're in Florida a lot, which Jay Smooth is, that's where he lives now. Do you think going up to Rock Hill where I don't know what the temp is, but I imagine it's going to be warm, it's going to be humid. Do you think that helps?
It's going to play. Yeah, a part for same sure, climate. Right? Yeah, and like I don't think it's like overly hot this week. I think it's like warm and humid, but I don't think it's not like it was in the summer.
Okay, thank God. That was brutal. So
yeah,
I was curious about that.
Yeah. I think it's warm, hot-ish, and humid. But yeah, like if you race in the climate you're used to, like if you live in the south and you constantly train and race in heat and humidity and you do it, like it's probably the same. It's obviously a shock if you live in a dry climate and go to heat and humidity. You feel like you're going to die.
Yes. Feel like you just walk outside and you just got drenched.
Yeah, it's a shock to your system. Like, yeah. I bet I'm sure some Europeans are kind of shocked by it.
Oh, for sure.
Especially if they've been in colder weather for a while, and Canadians too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different like this year, I guess. Yeah, early world changes things.
Mm. One guy I put on here with a question mark about a shot at winning is Diego Arboleda.
Okay.
You know, I think outside those top guys we thought of, like we just discussed, who have legit shots at winning, or majority of them we talked about, Diego may be a dark horse pick.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, the guy is like, he's got speed every now and again that looks like, how aren't you winning races constantly? But it just never seems to get put together at the big races. So I have a hard time thinking he's going to win, to be honest. Just, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I know. I don't see it happening either, but it's possible.
Yeah. He's got the speed. I remember, okay, so in France, 2022, when I was fucking sitting on the sidelines with COVID watching, I remember seeing like one of his first straights. I think it was in practice. So take it as you will. But he was against some top dogs and he fucking lit them up. And I was like, how is this guy not going to come win? And then he went out in like eighth. So he gets, something happened, but yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like I tell people that it's like, if you watch any top pro, if you just like watch them at your local gate practice, not only will you be amazed by their speed everywhere, but you'll be like, how does this guy not win every World Cup?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It doesn't even have to be like a top guy. Like it'd be like a, I don't know, guy ranked like 25th in the world. And you can watch him be like, how the fuck does this guy not win every race?
It's nuts. People don't realize it, right? Like they see these guys against the top guys in the world. And there's legitimately 30 guys that if they went to a local track, at most, I would say 98, 99% of the people at that local track would be like, I didn't know people went that fast.
100%. Like you will, if you stand beside the straight and watch them, you won't believe how much faster they are than everyone.
Yeah. It's like down to the start, down the first straight, even through the turns, you'd be like, how the hell are they doing that? Like you'd think that their tires are going to fold, their rims are going to fold over, but it's like, no, like bikes are good. Like they're holding up. Like these guys, they go that fast.
I think one of the biggest differences too, between like top pros and like, you know, fast amateurs or like U23s, is like the first 4 or 5 cranks on like top guys is night and day. Like, you know, you hear some people say like, oh, this person like in U23, their lap time was like the same or like really close to this person. It's like, well, look, if they're beside that pro in the gate, they're not even going to get their third pedal around before, so they're getting cut off. Like it's hard to describe how fast top pros are in the first 4 pedals. It's I think that's the biggest difference between U23 and pro, or junior and pro.
Totally, actually, yeah. Which is crazy because you're right. You see them in their amateurs or juniors or U23s, whatever they're riding and racing. You see them and you're like, dude, that guy's like as fast as you can be. And then you think, oh, in practice too, like they're really fucking fast. They could definitely compete with the pros. And then you put them up against it and it's like, no, they're going to get worked every time.
Yeah. It's like go in lane 4 1/4. Good luck.
Yeah. Like I feel like there hasn't been like a top amateur, I guess, or junior U23 that's come into the elite ranks and the top elite guy is next to him being like, I got to worry about this guy. That top elite guy is probably being like, thank God this guy's next to me. Instead of like fucking,
which is
George.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We can't move on to the women before we talk about the Swiss wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Cedric Booty, you know, had a tough Tulsa. Has some good, didn't he win the worlds in Rock Hill as a junior?
He
17?
Did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a good juju here.
I think he does, honestly, dude. He's been here for some USA races as well. Like, I think he's got something here. I think coming off a race too, when you're kind of pissed off, like you just lost, you lost the World Cup overall. You're going to be a little pissed off and want to just fucking get at that next race and do some damage. And I think he could do some damage here.
Yeah, absolutely. He can, man. He's talking about trending upwards the last like 2 years.
Yeah. You said it like hit on the head when you talk about like you get that result and then all of a sudden things start clicking again. It seems like he's gotten a good enough result where things started clicking a little better for him again.
Certified top dog now.
Yes.
Which is crazy. He's actually still looking for his first like big win too.
Yeah.
Like I would consider him a top dog, even though he hasn't like quite broken through and won one yet.
But for real though, I feel the same. Like he's been this whole year, he's been competing at the front. It feels like he's competing for wins at the big events.
Simon too, like been very sneaky consistent the last year.
Yeah, he has too. It's like those two are the front runners on the wagon for sure. Like they're pulling the team, but like they're clearly the two out front, definitely like the top ones, top guys.
Yeah. Isaac Kennedy. So let's group him and Neek together because obviously they were the top two fastest guys the last race. What do you think? How do you think they'll match up against, say, Romain and Joris?
I think you put them in the same group. I honestly think so. Like, I don't think on this track with the fucking short hill, first jump, the first straight, the way it is, like, Rome can do some damage on people down the first straight, but we've seen Neek do damage too. And I think Isaac stepped it up in the sense of, like, he's not just going to find a way around the track. Like, he seems like he's got it down the first straight, down the hill, all that kind of stuff. So I put those, like, three in the same category. Like, I think one of those three are winning.
Isaac had his first elite podium here too in 20 World Cup podium in 2019, I believe.
Oh shit. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
5 years ago.
Okay.
You know, I would say that I don't think this track would suit Neek as well as those other guys. I think I said that before Tulsa too, though. And he went out and won both days. So you never know, but kind of got more of a feeling towards Isaac and Romain.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible to do from eight, but I think Neek's doing it from eight if he does it this time around. He's not going to win.
You can't do it from eight on this track.
You don't think so?
No.
No, I don't really think so either. There's not the jumps for it. Like the way the first straight is, the jumps now, like you could before. There was a chance. Molina almost did it. It happened once. But I don't think the jumps are going to play in that favor.
It's too short. It like those guys are so close. It's too short of a first straight, I think.
I think your best chance from eight
would be to go into the first corner, kind of rail around the top, and then maybe come on second and try and pass for first. But like in terms of a straight hole shot, I don't know if it's like, I mean, obviously it's not impossible, but I don't think it's realistically feasible.
I also thought Neek was not a fast gate guy, and he's clearly a fast gate guy. So like, I have no clue how good that guy is this year. Clearly,
I think he's just a fast everywhere guy.
He's back. I think Neek is back. 18, 19, whatever year you want to say, like Neek's back.
He is fucking back.
Yeah. So my thought for the win is between Neek and Romain. I'm going to say it right now.
I think it's between Romain and Isaac. I'm going to go. God, I can just see Isaac doing it here.
I could see him passing too. The thing is, if he wins, he comes out the first turn and second. And I think he makes a pass somewhere.
I agree. Like I could see a scenario where Romain hole shots, Isaac's in second, and Isaac passes him somewhere.
Yeah. You can't let Isaac, free behind you. You got to have him getting balled up because if he's free, he's a fucking dog. He'll come after you.
If you let him hunt.
Yeah.
You might be in trouble. Yes. You better go fast.
Yeah.
I don't know who I had to pick. If I had to pick, I'd probably pick Romain.
For a win? Like who's going to win?
Yeah. Like if I'm actually picking, I got a feeling about Isaac, but okay, I'll go with Romain. Who you got?
I want to say Romain. I think Romain's saving it for the big one. I'm going. Nah, fuck it. I'll go Romain. Back to back. Give me some back to back action.
I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, he's working. He's been saving it. He missed a race. He loves when he skips a race because he comes in faster the next one.
Mm-hmm. So, I think he does it. All right, let's get to elite women. Let's start off with the two American top women, Elise and Felicia. Elise coming off, obviously, a great Tulsa. Podium both days. Won the Worlds last time in Rock Hill. You think she's a favorite?
I do. I think she's a top five favorite. Like I think top three. She's a top three. I think there's three women that I you could interchange and tell me they're going to win, and she's one of them. So,
assuming Beth and Sire are the other two?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I see it too. I think this is Elise's like best last realistic shot at winning the world.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's fair. I think like the shitty first straight, kind of mellow second straight. Like I don't know if it's that good or bad for her. I don't really know. I think her starts are fantastic. She was really quick in Tulsa. I think the flatter the hills, the better she is. So this being like the short church of the kink, I don't know if that helps her. I think the other girls can kind of flick that gear they have. It seems like some of those girls have that extra gear. If they flick it, then bye bye, they're gone. So I don't know.
Interestingly, Cy and Beth got first and second in junior last world champs here too. They were battling together in junior, and now they're like basically the top two in elite women battling here. That's pretty cool. 7 years later.
Yeah, wild to think about. Look at that. Like think about how many years ago that was? Seven. So
2017. Yeah.
Who in junior right now, or like first years of U23, 7 years from now is going to be competing for a world title? Do you think? Toronto, he'll be competing for a world title.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, in the women,
Ava Corley.
Yeah, 7 years. Bank on her competing for a world title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to think about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That is cool. Like, yeah, who you see in junior U23 killing it now will probably kill it in like the next 5 or 7 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Or earlier, but yeah. Felicia. So I'm not sure where I want to put her. Like, I think she'll be in the main, yes. Had some great race at Rock Hill too. Like, it's obviously in the US, so you got to factor that in. I'm not real sure. What do you think?
I'm going to bank her into the world's specialist category of like, she can come through and it's a big race and get a result. And that's what happened to me, I felt like, in 2022. So, I think she could be in the final for sure. I still think the other girls are that step above right now.
It's just like Beth and Sia have another level, I think, than anyone.
Yeah, and it's like, what girls are going to be able to keep up to her? So what other ones? And I think of Elise. I think Laura can keep up around the track. I think Zoe, we haven't seen much from her, I feel like. But it's like, I don't see any other girls fucking stepping it up to battle against those two.
It's just hard to... I almost can't picture a scenario where Sia doesn't win.
We'll get to our pick, but she's my pick.
Yeah, she's mine too. So, because it's like, God, she's so, just has such a good package right now. It's
fantastic. I mean, everything about her, like her composure, the way she's riding around the track. This track, you got to keep your flow going, like always. Like, it just seems like it's one for her. And, dude, she's been so solid this year. So, like, just everything's been clicking off. And it's like, yes, okay, cool. If things are clicking off, maybe it's bound that one's not going to click off. But it's like, I think her bad efforts are so high right now that her window is of like what her range is very high. It's higher than anybody else.
She's so big and strong too.
Yeah.
Like knows, just powerhouse. Yeah. Easy power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Sai is going to win. I just don't see where she doesn't.
Is there any of the US girls you think step up and kind of have a hometown shocker, like a home country shocker?
I kind of would have thought it was going to happen in Tulsa.
Okay. So if it didn't happen then, it's probably not going to happen now.
I think Delaney has a good shot at making the main. She's been really fast at Rock Hill. I think Delaney makes the main.
Fuck yeah.
Seen her at San Diego BMX last week. You know, in motocross, they say flying at the test track.
Yeah.
Yeah, flying at the test track.
She's flying at the test track. Hell yeah.
Honestly, she's looking, just doing some training.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, okay. Doing some training in San Diego. Yeah. But yeah, man, she looks really fast. Like, talk about a good starter too.
Yeah. Yeah, put her in there. Those girls have a battle for that Olympic spot, so that's exciting. And it's like, yeah, they've all ridden this track so many times. Like, let's see which one can get a result out of it now and fucking stamp that ticket.
Yeah, I know that's going to be a fun battle to watch with the Lady Peyton and Lexi. A little subplot.
Yeah, I haven't really... So what do you think about Zoe coming into the race? I don't know. I haven't really seen or paid attention maybe to how she's been doing, but I feel like it hasn't been like up there for wins as much. I don't know.
I mean, the two wins. I mean, obviously she won both days.
Oh, at fuck the World Cup. So, yeah. Sorry, hold up. Yeah. I was thinking of completely. I didn't even think of the race.
But what I was gonna say after that, like, she won both days in Oz. It seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? Like, I know it wasn't that long ago.
I mean,
It seems like it was a long time ago.
I had a brain fart there, and I didn't even think of it. So yeah, it's a while ago.
Yeah, but obviously she's won fucking two World Cups this year, so.
I might just bite my tongue now and be like, fuck, maybe she's been saving it for this then. Like, she knows as well what's coming up. Like, yeah.
I don't know if this is the best track for her to win at. Like, I think kind of picture her winning at more technical tracks.
Like
she's
a Sleeman,
so good
right?
on her bike. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a Sleeman. Like, that track, I think, is made for her.
Yeah.
It's like big, wide open, fast, tech jumps, steep. You got to be super good on your bike and be able to move it around everywhere, hit backsides, whatever. And I think it's just... Yeah, she won both days there. Like, of all the tracks they raced this year, if you know you're going to ask me which one So It Went At, I'd probably pick that one.
True. Yeah, that's fair. I think she's in the final, though. Know. I'll put it there. I'm going to throw her out the
right. Yeah, like for sure, like solid, I mean, top five easy, I would say.
Yeah.
And like battling for a podium. I don't know if I see her winning this week. I mean, she could, obviously, but
yeah.
I don't think it's the best course fit, as they say.
Got to fit the track, you know?
In golf.
Got to fit the course, you know? Eyes got to, you know, just fit those shapes. You know, everything's got to work out.
I like when they talk about course fit in golf, just because, like, I don't really know when they say course fit for people. Like, I try and picture in my mind what a course fit would be for like certain players. And I don't know. It's, I don't really get it sometimes.
I don't know what suits me on the golf course. So maybe a fucking hard dog leg, right? Where I can just like let loose and slice one. I don't know.
I don't really know either. Like what course, like, I don't know either what course fit.
Did you see the final hole of Wells Fargo today with Rory?
I didn't. So I had I kind of had it recorded. We went out and then I came back. Yeah, I went out earlier this afternoon, came back, and then was watching it, and it was like a huge difference, and I shut it off because it was getting boring.
Do you want me to, can I tell you then?
Yeah, sure.
Dude, he was up by like five strokes. It was like minus 12, Schauffele, minus 19, Rory. Mm-hmm. Fucking yeah. Iron shot into the green, blows it over into the water, takes a drop, fucking blows it past the hole, and his chip shot way long, and then like two putted, so he made like a double bogey. So he still won, but it was like, dude, just fucking get the ball in the hole already.
Dude, just get it in the hole.
Just get it in the hole, dude. You're already gonna win.
What other women do we have on here?
What do you think the Smolder sisters?
I'm not sure.
I think Manon is back in the final. I think Manon's on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
World Cup podium or World Championship podium for
me. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. There's no reason not to think she'll podium at this point.
Fucking ripping lately. She's racing. She's going to race.
So solid.
Too. Yeah.
Rock solid. Ever since her first podium in New Zealand, been fucking rock solid at the top.
Imagine she just breaks through and gets the dub.
Yeah, honestly, she's top three women in the world at this point. Probably you could consider.
100%.
I would say.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to go off stats? Like, you got to be consistent in sport, right? Like, let me fucking open up the stats and I'll tell you.
I'd say top four, because you could probably, her and Elise are probably pretty close to third best.
Okay.
Behind Beth and Saya, I would probably say.
Yeah, but if you're looking at like World Cup standings, you got second in World Cup overall standings. If you want to look at individual ranking for just like straight UCI, a little different, but she's going to be, yeah, it's going to take in too much. She's further down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, this year, she's in the top five category easy. Top three and is like the, fuck, she might even be there.
I think one of the Smolder sisters makes the main.
Okay. That would be a good bet. If I was a gambling man, that would be a nice, I'd make that bet. I'd put some cash on that.
I'd probably say Laura does.
Okay.
Yeah. Go with Laura. Probably gets like a sixth or something, I think.
That's about right. Do you wanna go down the list of random riders and do the over-under?
Yeah, so we're into the over-under position game. I think we've done this in the past for sure. We just haven't done it in a while. So I'm going to say the position. So, for instance, if I say 10th, over-under, yeah. I think under means you feel like they're going to get better, and over obviously means you're going to do worse. Like, if it's 10th and we say over, is that 11 or 10 and up? And then under, are we going to do 10 and up? You know what I mean?
We'll just have to clarify. It's like if you say 10, I'm like, I think he's around that range. Or I think, yeah.
Okay, we'll keep it under. How about? So if we say, 10th and we say under, that means 10th or better. And then if we say over, it's 11th or worse.
Yep.
Let's do that.
Let's go with that. I'm good with that.
Okay. Alfredo, 5th.
Oh, man.
It's a tough one, eh?
Yeah. I think he's in the main, but I think over.
I'm going under.
Ah,
I'm big on Alf Dog. I'm buying Alf Dog stock right now.
Buy it up. Come on now.
Jay Smooth, 6th.
Oh, I think over.
Over. Yeah. Molly, 8th.
Under.
Mm.
I'm going under on her. I think she's around the 5th place range.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Yeah.
Ryan Tugas, 30th.
I'm going under for him.
I'm going under also.
I'm a vibes guy with Rye. Like, I got to know his vibes. I think he's got good vibes in this one. Good track. I know where he's been. He's been vibing. He's been good times.
Under. Yeah. had good results at, had good like results at Rock Hill in the past. Good course fit for Rye. Yes. Very good course fit.
It fits his eye.
It does. Yeah. Really does. Isaac third.
I think under. I think he gets second.
Yeah. I think under also. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Diego Arboleda, sixth.
Over. I don't see him in the final.
I'm gonna go over, but I think he could get, I think he might make the main.
Okay. Yeah, he's because he's got the speed.
Elise second.
Oh, tough, 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 tough. Over.
I'm going over also.
Yeah, I'm going over.
Yeah. Alicia fourth.
Over.
Mm-hmm. Over.
I have like my, I'd say my top five women. I just at least top three, top four. And so yeah.
Laura sixth.
I'm going under. It's a little surprise, and it's, I'm going under, but I think it's like a, in the final top five.
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Menon Veenstra, fourth.
Under. I think she's podium. I think she might get a fourth even, but like I'll stick with the under. If I have to take it, I'll take under.
I think fourth is a good over under.
I think it's a really good spot.
Good line. Yeah, it's a tough one.
If it was 4.5, what would you take? If the line was 4.5, are you taking fourth or better?
Well, it's the same thing we're doing now, because if we say under, it's fourth or better. Yeah,
so I would take the under. I'd take fourth or better.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Okay.
Cam Larson, third.
Oh, man. I kind of think over. I don't like that one. I want it to be an under, but I'm kind of feeling over.
I'm going to go under.
Okay. Oh, you dog.
I like him for a medal.
Fuck yeah. Fucking yeah. Christ.
I like Romain Isaac Cam for a top three.
Oh, I love it. Nice picks. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
Cam Wood, fifth. I'm going over.
Fuck, I'm going to take the under then. I'll take the fifth. Fifth. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Carlos Ramirez, seventh.
I love how he's been riding. I'm taking the under.
Mm.
Yeah. He's in my top, like my picks. Yeah. I got my guys. He's in there.
You know, he's a really tough one to predict. Like it can be a podium or it can be a quarter or something sometimes.
It's just such a race.
It's like really, right? Yeah. I'm going to go. Unfortunately, I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Cedric Booty, fifth.
Under. I think he gets top four.
Yeah, I'm going under.
Oh, yeah, nice. You dog. Let's go. All aboard the wagon Sia. Right now.
Yeah. Sia, second.
Under. I think she wins.
Yeah, I'm under for sure.
Okay.
Romain, second. I'm also under.
Under. Dude, give us the fucking, give everybody what they want, that little majestic double win for them.
Boy, that's a low ceiling. Second, we're going under. That's a low ceiling. That is crazy when you think about it. Yeah, we're going under second.
Of Jesus. All the picks, that's the worst gambling odds you could ever take, I think.
You know, I just see him getting in one and then just never getting out of lane one all day. Dude, that's what I picture.
Yes, dude. Both of them. They're getting their rhythm. They put in those hot laps. They keep one and they just keep clicking them off.
And then how the fuck are you going to beat Romain when he's in lane one every lap?
Good luck.
Good luck is right.
Yeah. Good fucking luck.
All right. Now, the fan favorite, our favorite, James's favorite, the who won't win game.
It's my worst game ever.
Just a savage game, but we're going to play it anyway because it's, you know, it's called the friendship ender is what it's really called.
we're ending friendships with this. And like, we're not even trying to.
Or we should call it the motivation game. We're just providing some incentives for our good friends.
You're welcome, everybody. Okay. We're trying to help you.
We're trying to help you. We think we're going to say you won't win. We're only saying it to motivate you.
We want you to be better.
And it's not because we don't want you to win. We're just saying we don't think you know, odds are that we think you won't win.
100%. Fair enough, right?
So,
and you have to, remember, with this game, you can't just pick a low ball pick. You got to pick a high up pick that's like in the running.
Yeah, you can't just pick fucking Joe from Davenport, Iowa, because he's obviously not going to win. All right, the who won't win game. You want to start or you want me to start off?
Fuck, you start.
All right, we start men or women?
We talked men first. Let's start with men.
Okay. Joris, he won't win.
Damn, hey. Fuck.
Fucking guns blazing.
You're coming out of the pick with a hot one. If I say Alfdog, I'm saying Alfdog.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's...
It kind of hurts me a little. I want to see him win.
But. I know, and that's why I kind of took it, because I think you said he's going to win. He has a chance, but I don't think he wins. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cam Wood, he won't win.
Okay. Can I take Sylvan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, somewhat of a cop out, maybe. Maybe. No, it's not a cop out.
I don't think. I think people think he could. Like, he's still got potential. So, yeah, I'll take Sylvan. Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right. One more pick. Cedric Booty. I don't think he'll win.
Oh, man. Hey.
We're doing this draft style, right? Like, we can't pick the same guy.
Correct. Yeah. Right? Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I will go with, you know who I don't think this track is going to, who's going to win on this track? I don't think Kai White's going to win on this track.
We didn't even fucking mention him.
We didn't mention the GB boys. Normally we go through everybody, but like, I think we're trying to like slim it down a little bit. We don't need to go through.
Yeah. We trimmed it.
Yeah. So we're not going to, but I think he's a guy who's been, I mean, he was won a World Cup this year as well. Been really fast. Tulsa wasn't as, he had a fucking great day two, not a good day one. I don't know. I don't see him winning in Rock Hill of all places.
Yeah. Okay.
France for the Olympics, different story.
All right. Women, start us off.
Elise, I don't see her winning.
Mm-hmm. Beth, I don't see Beth winning.
Two top picks off the board right there.
Boy, yeah, we came out fucking firing on that one.
Here's the thing, though. It's like when we say these things, like people already know who we think is going to win. But obviously, we're trying to pick the highest up, and I think those are the next two highest ups, like potential to win. So I'll take Zoe on this one, though, and I think she's right up there as one of the next highest of, like, she has potential, but I don't think she wins.
I don't think Manon Veenstra will win. Okay.
Shit, hey. I'll take Felicia. I don't think she wins.
That's my next pick, too.
Yeah.
Molly, I don't think she wins.
Okay. So it's like, I remember in BMX, I remember always saying, like, it's such a crazy sport. Anybody can be up there. It's so, like, you're getting such a mix of winners, I think, or people in the finals. I think it was Graf that said if you look at it, like, the same guys usually end up in the final and win. And I think it's really true. And, like, we've been seeing that this year. I feel like the top guys are the ones that are constantly up there again. And I think that's, like, those top two or three have really stepped up, and there always seem to be those top two or three, which is crazy.
It isn't actually that unpredictable. Like, yeah, you do get some guys like podiuming and sometimes not, and they might have a throwaway race where they, I don't know, get pimped in the quarter or something. But generally, like, mains, podiums, wins, it's the same group of guys or women.
Yeah.
There's not, like, you don't get that many flyers where it's just, like, out of the blue, someone podiums. Yeah. It doesn't happen that often.
Really. It doesn't, right? No. Not these days. So,
like, besides maybe if you race at someone's home track, like in Argentina, and, like, Gonzalo wins.
Yep.
You know, I guess you could consider, like, something like that is a bit more, I don't know if rare is the right word or out of the blue, but generally you get the best. Yeah.
What's all Torres up to here? Let me check his latest post here. What's going on here? What's he saying here? I see a vamos. He says, let's go. He's continuing in recovery.
Yeah, his injury was bad.
Yeah. Do we have any questions from the grandstand?
I'm going to check because I posted it like an hour before the show. So I don't know if we.
That was a good call on the late post. At least we tried.
Yeah, actually, we have a handful. Okay. This is a good question. Will Hamilton, if UCI announced that they were bringing back time trials this weekend, who would win? Oh, love this question.
Great question. Who would win in a time trial these days?
Joris has always been really good at time trials. So,
phenomenal. Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, him and Sylvan were always really good. It's hard to say. I think Joris would have a really good shot at a time trial win. Right. I'm going to go Joris.
Okay. I think Neek. I think he would unload out of the first turn. Like, if he, you give him an opportunity to swing wide a little bit and unload out of the turn, he'd be flying.
He won one at Rock Hill, too. I think in 2015, he won the time trial.
Right.
I want to say.
Yeah. So, I would take Neek.
Yeah, good call.
What about women?
I think Saya would probably win.
I think I'll take Beth. Crazy to say, like, I think those two.
It's hard because I think a lot of people, if they haven't watched time trials in the past, like it's not always the person who like wins races. Like you actually get some, like, I don't know, other people that are just really good at time trials.
Yes.
And some top racers who aren't as good at them. It's kind of weird.
It's different riding alone out there. Knowing how to keep your speed and find speed versus being a hunter. Like I'd say Isaac is a hunter, like behind.
Yeah. And some people, like, their first straights are faster, but their track speed isn't quite as good. So they might do better in racing than they would necessarily in a time trial also. And some people are the opposite. Like, their first straight might not be as fast, but they'll be super fast around the track.
Yeah.
Do you have them, or am I just reading them here?
No, I don't have them, so it's all you.
Okay. T.O. Josh Larson. Thoughts on the UCI rule of no cruiser fender debate? Cruiser fender is a bit of a tough look, I think.
I think it's a tough look, but I understand why. Because if your butt's guys on a 24-inch tire all the time, it'd be fucking annoying. So,
you know what? It is a very practical solution, even though I think it's a tough look.
I'm about looking cool, though. I'll be honest. I'm a big looks guy. If you're looking like a fender guy out there, it's not a great look. So, no fender.
Why wouldn't they allow it, though? Like, what could be the possible downside of them not allowing it? It's safer. You could argue it's much safer to actually have one.
I mean, I guess you could, but you could also get caught in that, maybe.
How would you get caught in a fender?
Your hand or something gets caught under the fender and the tire between the two? I don't know.
I think you're more likely to hit your ass on your tire, get caught underneath the brake levers or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking of somebody else crashing into you and crashing with the, I don't know. It's just another piece. It's not BMX, I feel like. I guess you could say it is, but maybe that's why. It's just not BMX. But it doesn't.
I mean,
it doesn't hurt anybody, I guess. So, you know, it's
no. Deal. Like, I think you should be allowed. Like, who cares?
Fair.
Mona Smith 529. Watching so many amateurs slide out in dry turns, do you do anything different to prepare? I think just making sure you have proper corner technique and like actually practice corners. Corners are underrated. Like, a lot of people actually don't practice them. They'll go to the track and maybe do some single straight efforts, like first straights, whatever, and they don't really spend much time in the corners, but it's really important, like in training, to practice corners, practice different lines, entering different lines, different speeds, that kind of thing. So I think the riders that are prepared will be fine, and the ones that aren't will probably struggle.
It's like, how many times you watch people rip practice efforts at the track, and like before they're even in the first turn, they're already like showboating, stopping, shutting down. It's like, you got to practice going through the turn, finding a line, go low, go wide, like, yeah.
Like, even just a simple way is, like, when you do a single straight effort, just carve the corner too. Like, it's really not tiring, and it's just a basic way to practice it.
Yeah.
And, like, enter from different ways, like inside, middle, outside, whatever.
Nothing I'd be fucking more annoyed with than if people come to train, or you go train with other people, people come to you, and you're doing an effort with them, and you're like, okay, you're going first. And then halfway up the turn, they just shut her down, pull brakes, sit down, or even, like, just cut up the turn. I'm like, you didn't finish the fucking effort.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and, like, they almost, like, hate you if they're exiting the corner.
Yeah.
Brogate, you're up. Winning starts with a great gate. World's week. Everybody enjoy. The elite racing is going to be fucking electric. Looking forward to some more amateur racing this week as well. World's week, baby.
World's week. Brogate, you're up. Get yours today, baby. It's great. Fantastic.
We'll be back next week. Yeah, we'll be back next week for a World Champ recap show.
Snap on green, everybody.
Snap on green. Go Canucks.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the truck.
I hate that guy.